Why, hello. We're just making script revisions as we speak. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, the live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. You know, the sports world is abuzz this week. Between opening day for Major League Baseball and the exciting finish to the NCAA basketball tournaments, there's a whole hour of discussion right there. Then there's the NFL draft coming up. The World Figure Skating Championships just concluded. Well, joining us today to talk sports, it's Times Union sports editor Pete Iorizzo and Daily Gazette executive sports editor Mark McGuire. Guys, nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having us back, Ray.
Happy to be here.
All right, well, limited enthusiasm. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also comment on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com, don't you know, /WAMC Radio. Or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can always email voxpop@wamc.org. But we do like your calls. Makes it more interesting on a call-in show, 800-348-2551. Full disclosure, if we start drifting about halfway through the show, it's because of the glue fumes here in Studio A. It might become more Cheech and Chong than sports talk here on Vox Pop. However,
everything's so green.
We'll press on. You see, Studio A is being redone. And they put in this new wood trim around the microphone and headphone connectors. And they did it with some rather strong glue. So we'll press on. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Before we get going on baseball and other things, how about UConn? Oh, my word. What a dynasty.
It's truly historic. Gino Auriemma is truly a historic coach. He passes John Wooden now with 11 titles. The senior class graduates 4-for-4. We're watching greatness, unparalleled greatness in college basketball in our midst. And instead of being decrying it, I think we should appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you always...
Why would you decry it?
I couldn't agree more, Ray. To me, you always want to see a sport played at the highest possible level, and I couldn't imagine playing women's basketball at a higher level than UConn is.
Oh, I see. Pete is wearing his Syracuse colors. That's why you could possibly decry it. Well, you didn't expect Syracuse to get that far anyway, right?
No, and Syracuse is a really good basketball team. That's the team that ousted UAlbany, and they were fantastic. And you saw how dominant UConn was. There was a storyline that developed out of Boston earlier in the week. Dan Shaughnessy wrote a column saying that UConn was bad for women's college basketball because they were so dominant. And that was a storyline through the NCAAs saying that their dominance actually hurt women's college basketball. And actually, a lot of people, including both Pete and I, thought that was kind of silly.
I mean, was the dominance of the Yankees in the 20s and 30s, was that bad for baseball?
No, it's what builds drama in the sport, is wanting to see if somebody's going to be the team that dethrones that dynasty.
Yeah, you mentioned John Wooden before and his 10 titles. UCLA won 10 titles in 12 years, and then men's college basketball seemed to survive just okay.
Yeah, so that was big news. The Syracuse men, well, you know, we didn't expect them to be there by any stretch.
We didn't expect them to be in the tournament.
No, and that's a question. Now, Mark was carping about that quite a bit prior, just after the selection tournament. Mm-hmm. And Syracuse got in on the last possible second they got in, and they made a run. So I think you're probably here to eat some humble pie.
No, I wrote about that after. I'm not eating humble pie. I still question whether they deserve to be in the tournament. That said, they didn't. They very much deserve to be in the Final Four. They got a lot of breaks along the way. Middle Tennessee State upsetting Michigan State.
That was the key right there.
Certainly made it a much easier path. But the fact that Gonzaga and Virginia both choked late, you could say, well, they choked. But you know something? Syracuse made that happen with their pressure defense.
Oh, they played so well in the second half
in
particular.
You got to give Syracuse all the credit in the world. Whether they deserve to be in the tournament or not, didn't matter once they were in the tournament. What they did once they got there, Syracuse deserves all the credit in the world.
Yeah, I think whenever you're talking about a 64-team bracket, too, fortune is going to play a part in this. There's no team that has ever won the tournament that didn't receive a somewhat favorable path. It's just the way it works when you have a bracket of that size.
By the way, how'd you guys do with your brackets?
I didn't do one out of protest.
Did you? Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I'm not bitter.
You were that upset that Syracuse got in?
I was that upset that St. Bonaventure didn't.
I didn't do one out of laziness.
I did too, and had Oklahoma winning it, and
got him in the Final Four.
Yeah, well, what's that do you? Nothing.
There's only one person in my household who's ever won a bracket, and that was my wife, and she can't name one college basketball player ever.
So how'd she do it?
The usual things, you know, mascots, names, states she's been to.
Okay, well, I'll contact her before my bracket next year.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Number to call is 800-348-2551. Baseball underway. It was great drama yesterday. The Mets played the Royals in just bizarre scheduling. May I say that the schedule was made before the postseason ended or before the postseason began last year?
Oh, it's made in, I think it comes out in, what, August?
Yeah, it was well before the.
Okay,
yeah.
So the Mets ended up playing the Royals and losing in the World Series, and they start the season interleague, which I have an issue with, in Kansas City Sunday night and lost. And then yesterday, Noah Syndergaard, who, if you recall, threw a 96-mile-an-hour fastball over the head of the Royals' leadoff hitter last year in Game 3 of the World Series, faced them again yesterday. And he was very good. He was very good.
Yeah, after a dubious start, he was very good. And there's a man standing on third base before you have anybody out. But, yeah, it was very good after that.
Yeah, he gives off the leadoff triple and then proceeds to strike out the side. He's developed a slider now that is 96 miles an hour, which is borderline illegal. If you have a 96-mile-an-hour slider, that's just not hittable.
I think Ned Yost even said that after the game yesterday, that there's not a man alive who can hit that pitch.
So, I mean, barring, and you always have to knock wood and hope that the health stays there, but barring injury, he's primed for a really good season.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting storylines in the National League with the Mets, with that pitching staff. The Cubs are absolutely loaded. Obviously, it's an even number year, so the Giants will be back. And it's going to be a really fascinating year. It's tough to believe that the Cardinals will not be in it because they're the Cardinals. The Pirates,
the Dodgers.
The Dodgers, I think will probably take a step back.
Well, I don't know. Scott Kazmir pitched very well. How long he lasts is the question.
And these are fascinating questions going forward. It's a very top heavy league, but the top of that league is absolutely stacked.
Should be a good year. We're joined today by Pete Iorizzo and Mark McGuire. We talk sports, 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Bob in Del Mar. Bob, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Yeah, I enjoyed your conversation.
Thanks.
I'm really happy to hear Pete's on the show today because I have a question for the Times Union.
Oh, boy.
First of all.
I'm ready, Bob.
Peter, I enjoy the Times Union Sports. I have for years, a long time. I've hit the 83 mark, so I've been a long-time reader.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and participate in lots of sports. But it looks like we have a clear-cut case of sexual discrimination on the Times Union's part.
Keep going, Bob. I know where you're going with this.
Well, good. We'll see if you're Monday morning, here comes a full photo of the men's championship, the great shot, and the blurbs up on the top go to page so-and-so, which, granted, is one of the greatest games I've been fortunate to witness in a number of years. But I opened up the paper this morning on the front page, the A page of the, nothing. So I can't understand why the women get second. I mean, they play such a great brand of basketball. In fact, I'd prefer to watch the women play than the men. You don't enter into that decision what goes on the front page, I suppose, of the A division?
No, I guess I'd direct you to the front page of the sports section where there was a really big photo of celebrating UConn players and a big headline.
I saw that all right. But why don't the women make the front page of like the men did?
Doesn't it also have to do with the other news that's going on?
No. There wasn't any other news yesterday different than today.
I don't have a copy of the front page in front of me, so I don't remember. I think you're talking about probably on the top of the page there are some teasers that say go to page so-and-so.
Oh, yeah, there's always little leaders on the top. Well, the men made that, plus their big photo on the front page. There was no leader for the women, nothing on the front page.
Okay, so this wouldn't be Pete's fault.
Well, no, I'm not going to try to blame.
No, I think you are. That's fine.
I'll blame Pete.
Again, the women are being discriminated against, I mean, it's like a Donald Trump job here.
Wow. Well, welcome to the show, Pete Iorizzo. Hey, Bob.
I'm just going to put my headphones down and walk out.
Way to get us started here, Bob. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551. So Bob was referring to the front page of the paper itself.
Yes, right? that's what it sounded like, and I suppose I'll be happy to take the blame if we didn't have a tip up there to the UConn women. But I believe we had the women's Final Four on the front page of the sports section every day probably since Thursday or Friday,
yeah.
And it
yeah.
was the main story in the sports we, front today.
I think as a rule, we've actually sports sections, and I could speak for Pete, I could definitely speak for the Gazette, we're trying to pay more attention now to women's sports.
Well, I don't know how you could not pay attention to the UConn women's basketball team.
It's just a huge story in sports,
yeah.
Period. So it's something that I don't think you can ignore, or something anyone, newspaper or any news outlet would ignore.
It's one of the great dynasties, I think, of all time at this point. It's 800-348-2551. We talk sports today with Pete Iorizzo of the Times Union and Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts. Providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Northeast Solar in Hatfield, Massachusetts. Helping Pioneer Valley residents live more sustainably with solar power for home, business, or farm. Keep solar local. Northeast-Solar.com. And the Ashokan Center and the Woodstock School of Art. Presenting Swing and Shine, a gala benefit dinner and dance with music by Jay and Molly and the Catskill Mountaineers, Saturday, April 16th, ashokencenter.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 800-348-2551. We do a sports show every few months or so, and we welcome Pete Iorizzo of the TU and Mark McGuire from the Daily Gazette. And it's been an exciting few weeks now in sports. And
it has been.
The NFL draft coming up. What about all those moves the Giants made? How much money they spent? I bet Tom Coughlin is saying, well, why didn't you spend a little when I was here?
That's why he's still hanging around. You know, he's still hanging around the Giants complex working out.
Is he?
Yeah, he doesn't have a job.
I thought he was, he seems a little bitter.
Oh, just a little.
Isn't it funny, though, when the general manager is suddenly the guy who slides over to the hot seat? All of a sudden, wallets are open and no expense is too great.
See, I thought the general manager, Jerry Reese, was on the hot seat last year.
He should have been.
And he had a pass. He got a pass this year.
Yeah. Well, now you've removed the coach, so there's nobody else left to fire.
And the Giants actually are in prime position, drafting 10th in this draft. There's so many different directions they can go.
So you think a linebacker, right?
Not necessarily. I don't think they're going to draft an offensive lineman, although there could be some really good offensive lineman available. Ronnie Stanley out of Notre Dame could be available at 10. There could be some linebackers available at 10 should somebody like a Miles Jack fall. But I think the guy to keep an eye on is Ezekiel Elliott, the running back out of Ohio State.
You think he will last till 10?
If he gets past the Eagles at 8, yes. I mean, he can go as high as 4 to the Cowboys. There was a time where running backs weren't even going in the first round. They've been so devalued with the two-back systems that a lot of teams are running. But what we saw with Todd Gurley last year, and the success he had, I think teams are reevaluating for special running backs, and Ezekiel Elliott is a special running back.
Yeah, I agree with you. Pete, you're a Jets fan, right?
Correct.
Okay, and I'm sorry. Mark, you're also a Jets fan. There's two in one room. How often does that happen? What's up with the Jets quarterback situation?
It seems like something with Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to get done eventually, because I'm not sure what else either side is going to do it. Ryan Fitzpatrick is running out of other potential suitors, and the Jets have never really had a plan B, so it seems like this is going to be a marriage that's going to happen eventually, because I don't know what else could happen.
There's no need for the Jets to really negotiate against themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they could get Neil O'Donnell if they needed to, right?
Or a Neil O'Donnell-like facsimile.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jim in Albany. Jim, you're on.
Hey, hello, Ray.
Hello.
Great to talk to you guys today. I know you all believe in fair play for all of the people. Is that right?
I don't know where you're going with this.
What about the women? We have four men coaches in the women's Final Four. Where are the great women coaches? Are they not getting any chances at these colleges today?
I think that's a fair question.
What happened to Vivian Stringer? What happened to Tara Vanderveer? Where are the great women coaches?
They lost in earlier rounds.
They're not coaching today.
Well, Tara, the coach Katie Abrahamson Henderson, who did such a great job at UAlbany before taking the job at Central Florida.
Thank you. Great coach. Great coach.
Great coach. She brought this up as an issue earlier this year.
Oh, really?
And she said, there isn't a reciprocal opportunity for women to take jobs in the men's game. And one of the things she advocates for is women hiring women. Giving women entry-level jobs on coaching staffs. Director of basketball operations is the entry-level job in a basketball operation, and giving them assistant jobs so they can move up the pipeline.
Yeah.
So that if you look at her staffs, they tend to be all female. And that's what you need to do to build up those coaching pedigrees so they can move up the ranks and get those top-notch jobs.
Yeah, one of our columnists, Jennifer Gish, just wrote about this issue the other day, in fact, and she talked to some women's basketball coaches about it. What you'll hear them say is, we don't mind if men come in and coach women's basketball. The problem is there's no reciprocation. We can't go over and coach the men's game. So unless there's going to be an equal opportunity for us on the men's, we'd like there to be an equal opportunity for us on the men's side, because we feel like the men's game would benefit from a women's perspective. And, you know, it certainly is a fair argument if you buy the idea that the women's game has benefited from the male perspective.
But I asked Coach Abe directly, it was after the loss to Syracuse, would you consider coaching a men's team? Because I could actually see her coaching a men's team. And she said, I'd get killed in recruiting.
Oh, interesting.
That's true if she's the only one of 340-some-odd men's basketball coaches who's a woman. But I think, you know, the argument doesn't work anymore if there's this ideal world where there just are women coaching in the men's game.
Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. This one came in via email from Mark. Congratulations to Villanova and the Big East Conference for winning the NCAA tournament. Does their win now send a message across the NCAA that schools don't have to give in to football-inspired conference realignment to win a championship? Nicely done there, Mark.
No.
Okay.
Because we're talking money. 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 It's always going to be driven by money, and football is always going to drive the NCAA.
The team we follow in my household is University of Arizona. They have a football program, not the greatest football program. Clearly, basketball is A1 in that school.
But it's still driven by football. What's the number one program at Syracuse?
It's still going to be football. Everywhere is football.
It's always football.
If you have a football team, the number one program is football.
All right, this one came in via email from Tony, and I'm Jessica Blaustein says she doesn't know this person, but I question this. Tony writes, Allie Wagner won the silver and Gracie gold, missed any medal with fourth place. Ask Jessica Blaustein Marshall about Saturday's women's skating championship in Boston.
It was thrilling.
Was it?
It was thrilling, yes. It was absolutely thrilling competition to see us break that 10-year snide and get back on the podium. And just to miss out and getting the fourth-place finish was just so difficult.
Oh, well, what a surprise. There's Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Sit down, Jess.
Hurry. I've pretty much exhausted everything.
So after 10 years, an American back on the podium.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's basically the news that came out of the World Figure Skating Championships. For those of you who are not actually paying attention to the sport, I swear I didn't tell anybody to ask
Fine.
This question.
Yes.
But yeah, and then another interesting thing, and then I promise I'll leave.
No, stay.
About the sport of figure skating is the the president of the ISU, the International Skating Union, Octavio Cinquanta, who's a figure skating guy. We talked about this last time. He is out. as of this fall, I believe, and they're thinking about who will replace them and replace him. And one of the people they're thinking about is the guy who was implicated in the judging scandal in 2002, who was banned from the sport for 3 years, but now they like him again.
Oh, okay.
And he's got some ideas about how to shake up the judging system.
So this is a FIFA thing, sort of?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's entirely unlike FIFA.
Oh,
I mean,
interesting.
I think that's true of any sport governing body around the world. So, anyway, that's my two cents.
Great sport you got there.
Well, if anyone calls, we'll need you back, okay? All right. Jessica Blaustein Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Well played, Mark McGuire. You were right on it. You did your homework. Let's go to Jeff in Castleton. Jeff.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
I've got a question about soccer. So don't get bored. In England right now, Leicester, a very small team, is about to make history. They're six games away. And in the United States, we've got a really close World Cup qualifying race going on, and nobody seems to care. What is it going to take to get Americans to care about soccer?
I think I've heard this question asked once a year, or actually I should say once every other year.
Commercial timeouts is the answer. Commercial timeouts. The networks won't love it until there are commercial timeouts built in.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad to hear. Even you guys talk about the football draft before talking about soccer, and the draft is the most boring football story that does not involve deflated footballs.
Wow.
I mean,
I actually live for the NFL draft. Now I have to question my very existence.
But is it more exciting than a three-hour nil-nil?
Yeah.
You know something? We've been Pete's actually right. We've been talking about soccer since I was young, a little kid when Pele arrived at Randall's Island. And a lot of it is driven by TV. Certainly the interest in soccer has risen dramatically in the United States, and certainly the participation rate has risen dramatically in the United States. One of the things that you talk about interest level is, you know, the sports spectrum in the United States is much more crowded than there is in other countries. Other countries don't have baseball. They don't have college and pro football. They don't have the levels of basketball that we do. So just finding that niche alone makes it much more difficult to find space in the spectrum of coverage and the spectrum of fan interest. So you're still seeing a lot of interest. You're seeing the interest of, you know, go to a pub on a Saturday morning and you'll see people drinking and watching soccer matches.
When's the last time the Times Union had a soccer story on the front of a sports page?
Whatever the last day of World Cup competition was.
Sure. You know, we covered, you know, the loss to Guatemala and the win against Guatemala for the men. We cover it, but we're not going to cover it like we cover the NFL. We're not going to cover it like we cover Major League Baseball or the NBA because it doesn't rise to that level. We're not going to cover the MLS because the way we cover those other leagues, because it just doesn't fit on the pecking order the way those leagues do.
And so, you know, thank you, Jeff, for the call. We've been hearing for decades soccer's on the come. Soccer is big and getting bigger in this country, and it never seems to hit that plateau. We always hear all the kids are playing soccer, and they all are playing soccer to some extent. But at what I don't understand exactly why it has never hit the level that all the soccer aficionados predict it will hit.
I guess I'm not sure why it has to either. I think it can just be this thing that we all really enjoy once every other year when the men or women are playing in the World Cup. And I don't mean to be dismissive of Jeff's question, by the way. I mean, probably the last time it was on our section front was the last World Cup. But
your job is about feeding the eyeballs that read your paper.
Exactly. And my phone's not ringing every day with people saying, you know, I wish there were more soccer coverage. I'm sure there are people out there that wish there were, but
sure.
Until I can demonstrate that there is enough interest to justify it.
I mean, it's not to denigrate somebody who lives and dies with Man U or the Red Bulls. I mean, if that's your thing, it's fantastic.
Well,
that's
thanks
great.
To satellite and cable TV, now you can watch that anytime you want.
And you know what? That's probably a big part of it, too, is the people who are interested in Man U and the European leagues. You know, they're so used to getting that information in other ways than the newspaper that's dropped on their driveway every morning that, you know, maybe it's not so much that there aren't people out there that don't really care about these things, but they're just not necessarily looking to their newspaper
but we,
for coverage of
but
it.
You know something? We do run the Premier League standings, and we wouldn't have done that 5 years ago. So
no,
that maybe
yeah, we
is,
run them too.
And that's maybe acknowledgement to actually the fact that soccer it
slow
does
progression.
Have, and, well, we acknowledge the fact that people are watching this on TV, so they do want to see at least the standings, so at least we can give them that.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. We talk sports every 3 or 4 months with Pete Iorizzo of the Times Union and Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette. One point in the last call, and he mentioned it as a throwaway line, was deflated footballs. Did you guys see the news that a group of people are suing football over Deflategate?
Stop.
Did you see that?
Yes.
So, I mean, I suppose that you could say that if you're heavily invested emotionally in a team and they lose a draft pick, it's worthy of a class action suit of some kind.
Well, as Jets fans, we should probably be able to get in on that somehow, right?
Yes, I'm constantly disappointed by our teams, and I'm going to sue if I go to pay $250 to see a Knicks-Cavs game and LeBron sits that night. I'm going to go sue the NBA for that because I'm suffering pain and suffering.
My poor father paid for Jets season tickets for many, many years. He should be able to recover some damages.
Went to Shea Stadium, he did?
Yes, he did.
Oh, boy. Well, this one came in via email. It says, what do you guys make of the new slide rule in baseball? It cost the Blue Jays a win yesterday, and cost is in quotations. I'll hang up and listen. Okay, all right.
Very well played.
Very nice.
I enjoy collisions at home plate and like watching guys get run over, but I realize that's very easy to say when I'm not the guy who's being run over. And, if ultimately it's a step toward guys not being stricken with head injury-related issues later in their lives, then I suppose I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, I think the rule was actually, especially around second base, you do need it. That said, if a pitch is not thrown at Chase Utley's ear the first time he faces the Mets, I'll be extremely disappointed.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. If Ian Pickus is listening, Ian, come in, because I want to talk about, before we take our break here in a few minutes, I want to talk about the play that cost maybe the Yankees a game yesterday. Did you guys see that play?
Oh, I heard about it, yes.
And I did not see it as it happened, but I'm sure Ian Pickus, who is our resident Yankee fan, did in fact see that. But apparently the runner was way out of the baseline. The pitcher fielded the ball, had to throw over this guy's head, went over to Scherer's head, and cost the Yankees the tying run. And ultimately that would have been out number 3. So the Yankees are protesting this game. Here's Ian now. Did you see that?
I did see the play.
And so did you yell? I didn't hear any screaming.
I was trying to be respectful to my fellow workers in the newsroom, but it doesn't make any sense. The way the rule's written, from what I've read today, is that it's a judgment call, and Dana DeMuth, the home plate umpire's response, was that Betances should have thrown the ball into the base runner's back. And then they
automatic out?
Then they would have had the discretion to call him out because he was in the baseline. As it happened, he threw the ball into right field. Couple runs scored.
And that was pretty much the game.
And that was it.
So the Yankees are protesting. Does anyone win these protests ever?
I think the last one was George Brett.
Okay, and so theoretically, if they win the protest, the game is nullified? It has to be replayed?
No, they go back
to that moment.
It goes back to that spot, right?
That's what happened in the George Brett game in 83. They went back and they played an inning, and I think a half inning.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I remember the George Brett's reaction, but I don't remember exactly what happened.
And it was a few weeks later. So this is going to get them nothing, protesting the first game of the year. But it brings up a good point. Why have that lane to run in if you're actually allowed to run on the grass?
Now, this is outside of the replay rule?
This did not go to replay until Girardi came out and argued for a replay, and then the umpires got together. But I guess there was nothing they could really do because it was a judgment call. And,
so you can't overrule a judgment call even if the judgment is bad?
I guess not.
I did agree with what Girardi said, too, by the way, that I don't think having players throwing the ball at the base runner is probably the way baseball wants to go about this.
Absolutely not.
It was a rule in the 1840s.
Sure it was. Before gloves.
It was called soaking. Yeah, that's how you can get a guy out. You just drilled him.
And the game was so much better then.
It really was.
It was so much more competitive.
Ray, you remember it.
Oh, that's funny, Mark. Mark McGuire's here. He's hilarious, and he's a sports writer as well, and an editor, an executive editor. Ian Pickus, before you go, we have a minute or two here before the next break, and then we'll get back to the calls. Give me a prediction. Give me an over-under on wins for the Yankees this year.
I think their over-under was set at about 84.5, and that seems really right to me. Last year, 87 got them in the playoffs for 3 hours. I think everything has to go right for them to get to 87.
Do they have the pitching that to make it through the year?
The pitching seems okay. The bullpen seems okay. But the 3-4-5, is great if you're building a team in 2006. Yeah. I don't know about 2016.
It's a fragile team in terms of you just don't know how long they're going to be able to hold up. You don't know if Teixeira is going to make it past June. You don't know if A-Rod's going to make it past May.
Yeah.
Is Beltran going to stay healthy?
And Beltran has to stay healthy playing the outfield every day because A-Rod is clearly not taking the field. So
ever.
There's no DH.
He'll never
spot.
Do that again.
Doesn't look like it.
Now, he's on his farewell two-year tour, right?
He's on his farewell two-year tour. Beltran wants to play beyond his current contract at age 39.
Well, so, you got to love a couple more years. Beltran might get in that Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's on. I would say he's knocking on the
in
door.
A Mets uniform,
oh.
By the way.
They could have him right next to Piazza.
Okay, I think that was a veiled shot. Now, I was going to say that in the newsroom, we're pulling for the Yankees.
Yes,
there
and the Mets.
There's one rather loud Red Sox fan in the newsroom.
There is.
And sometimes there can be a butting of heads, but we're pulling for the Yankees.
And he's soaking it in today because the Red Sox are on the win column, on the win side, and the Yankees are not. So we'll see if that's the case in another 6 months.
And let's hope Christina's not listening. All right.
Oh, he's listening.
Ian Pickus, thanks for being here. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back with more of your calls in a moment.
Support for WMT comes from Nine Pin Cider Works, serving New York hard ciders made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room open Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple. NinePinCider.com. Carrie Haddad Gallery, presenting abstract paintings, watercolors, fire scorched drawings, and Venetian plaster wall sculpture through May 22nd. Artist reception this Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Open daily, CarrieHaddadGallery.com. Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Working with New York Diamond District artisans to create customized jewelry. UnusualWeddingRings.com. Empire State Youth Orchestras presenting The Lark Ascending this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. Featuring music of Copland, Gershwin, and more. Growing the Future of Music. ESYO.org. And Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York. Working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette and Pete Iorizzo of the Times Union. And Mark wanted me to bring up the NBA. So quickly, we have a lot of calls here. But before we get to the calls, I'll just say it, NBA.
You owe me money.
Why do I owe you money?
Because I sat here and we made a friendly wager regarding somehow you said the Knicks were going to be 500 this year.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No, I said the Knicks would draw at least 500 fans to the Garden this year.
Yeah, we can go back to the tape on that.
All right, I guess I owe you $5. I think it was a season that could have been. Not a championship season, but a season that was on the cusp of getting right, and it's the ownership. It's ultimately the ownership of that team.
It was a season that could have been mediocre.
Yes.
Well, you know, listen, that's all you have to be to make the postseason in the NBA. Is mediocre.
That was really the beginning of the season. It was really hiding a lot of flaws in this team,
all right.
Mostly
well,
in the backcourt.
I owe you $5, but coincidentally, the fee to be on the program is $5. So let's go to Cliff in Kingston. Cliff.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey. How you doing?
All right. Have you ever watched a thing called Australian Football League? The Australian Football League?
That was the only thing that was on ESPN in the first year or so, because that was the only thing they could afford. Yeah, it's the guy with they wear the white suits, the referees.
Yeah.
They've
changed it quite a bit, but the thing is, the song remains the same, but the league seems to have increased in size. And it's totally different. It's not a rectangular field either. It's an oval field.
Really?
Yeah, it's... And they're wearing the least amount of padding of any sport out there.
Huh.
In fact, they wear, like, tank tops.
So do you like it?
Every time they go to kick the ball, they have to pull their socks up.
All right, Cliff. And so this is a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's totally unique because the whole, almost the whole team, with a few, with the exception of a few substitutions, were on the field.
Yeah.
And to, after each score, the ref, a guy goes in the middle, like a referee, takes the ball, and it's almost like a rugby ball.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Bounces it. It goes sky high, and then you got guys trying to climb over each other's back just to get the ball.
I got to admit, I haven't seen an Australian rules football game since ESPN was showing darts.
How are you so familiar with the sport, Cliff?
Now it's on Fox Sports.
There you go.
Well, there you go. Hey, Cliff, thanks a lot. I guess I'll have to watch that. There's really no way you go to the sidelines, though, if it's an oval, right?
That's an existential crisis.
Yeah, this is strange. Well, that was fun. Let's go to line two and see if anything else interesting pops up. Todd in South Hadley. Todd, you're on.
Oh, hot diggity dog. Any of you fellows listen to the Villanova and Carolina game on the radio?
I heard the calls of the final shot from both. Not the entire game, though.
Yeah.
If you listen to the game on the radio, and oftentimes you guys that do radio, not that you criticize others, but you critique others.
Yeah.
If you had heard John Thompson, the fellow that used to coach Georgetown, and Clark Kellogg go back and forth, it was almost hilarious. One of them would say, well, there's some good defense, and it's good to have height. And the other would say, you're exactly right. That's just what I was going to say. And the other guy would say, well, look at how they fast break and they weave the ball down the floor. You know something? That's a very good point, and I'm happy that you said that.
that sounds very nice.
They were so pleasant to one another, but not once would they say, no, that was a bad shot, or no, they did that wrong. They just complimented one another over and over and over. It was almost like it was scripted. It was kind of funny, but it
annoyed you.
It just seemed like, I'm sorry?
It annoyed you?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm happy that you caught on. Yeah, that's him thinking, God damn. All right.
Easy now there, fella. Hey.
See, that's strange, because most people I know on radio tend to be mean-spirited. So the fact that they were polite.
Okay, Mark, that was a shot at me. And Todd, thank you for that. And, we'll try to avoid the curse words in general.
I will, too. But do kind of argue a little bit if you can. It makes the thing more entertaining.
I do enjoy it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, man. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. Look at the time. Jeez, we still got 13 minutes. Let's go to Wolfgang in Pownall. Wolfgang, you're on.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You mentioned that the Yankees were a dominant team in baseball in the 20s and 30s. I just want to point out that there was a team that won the World Series a couple of times called the Philadelphia Athletics. They had a catcher named Mickey Cochran, for whom Mickey Mantle was named. But they were a pretty good team, but Connie Mack ran into problems and with finances and wound up selling the team off. So they didn't dominate as much as they could have if they'd stayed together. But what I want to bring up, and I'm interested in your comments, is it seems like every time a Philadelphia baseball team gets to the championship level, that it's such a shock to the national consciousness that the entire economy of the United States goes into the bucket.
I love it. Are you a Phillies fan?
That and what you think, please?
Are you a Phillies fan, Wolfgang?
Yeah, I'm in this area, so I root for the Yankees because I like to root for somebody who'll win once in a while.
Ouch.
But, the Phillies are, they're just always underdogs, and it's great. And I used to go to baseball games at Connie Mack Stadium when I was a kid. And, it's just love for the home team.
That's cool. Now, full disclosure, I despise the Philadelphia Phillies. But now I'll let the sports editors talk about it.
Thanks.
I'm a Mets fan, too, so unfortunately I'm with Ray on this one. I also want to add that I think Mark's an idiot. I'm just trying to give a nod to our previous call.
Oh, you mean a little argument? Thanks a lot. Boy, this show is really off the rails.
But the Philadelphia did have some hard luck teams over the year. Obviously, the Sixers are terrible, and right now the Phillies are terrible. The Eagles are a soap opera. Hopefully, they'll get better this right now. So it's good for the city. They're really hardcore fans. Love them or hate them. That Villanova, you got to love Villanova. You got to love the team. They're a gritty, asphalt, tough team. And you got to like the team, small school, going against a big school, winning in the way they won. And they won with class. So, give Philly this.
And Wolfgang, you know, Joe Donahue, our own famous Joe Donahue, huge Phillies fan. So he's with you all the way on that. Hey, you know, they're in the rebuilding phase. They got to get rid of Ryan Howard, right? They can't afford that anymore. And 10, 20 years down the road, they're going to be okay.
Yeah, as a Met fan, I can't really feel too sorry for a losing team.
Okay, here's emblematic of the way I feel about Philadelphia. A couple of years back, they had the 50th anniversary of the 69 Mets at Citi Field, okay? Mm-hmm. Was it the 50th, 40th? I don't remember. But
it'd be 40th, right?
Was it? Okay.
Math is hard.
Okay. Well, I'm in radio for a reason. So anyway, all the 69 Mets were there, including Nolan Ryan and Yogi Berra, little Yogi Berra. And it was a Phillies game. And the Phillies fans, were around us anyway, were heckling Yogi Berra. And I said to myself, how does anybody heckle Yogi Berra? So that made me mad.
You need to be much more like us
New York
fans.
With your tongue in your cheek, I guess.
I guess so.
No,
man.
Philadelphia fans don't do tongue in cheek. They heckle Yogi Berra. They heckle Santa Claus.
That's right. Hey, Wolfgang, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go over to Kit in Monterey, Mass. Kit.
Hey there. Some thoughts about baseball. I love baseball, but I feel like it's gotten boring to watch because too many commercial breaks. And there's too many commercial breaks because there's too many pitching changes. And I just want to put out a notion that maybe Major League Baseball could institute a maximum 5 pitcher per game rule per team. See what anybody thinks about that.
All right,
that.
You want to hang on the line or you want to hang up? Good.
I'll hang on.
Okay.
Well, one of the things they did implement this year was a 30-second clock we saw in Kansas City where you basically have 30 seconds on the mound with pitching coaches to discuss with the pitcher or manager coming out for a pitching change before you have to make a decision. So it's kind of funny to see these old pitching coaches actually like running out to the mound as fast as they can. So hopefully we actually may see longer delays thanks to heart attacks. But it's But one of the things you could talk about, I'm not sure if you want to have a 5 pitcher limit, but one of the things you could do possibly to speed up the game that has been discussed is maybe implement a minimum number of batters each pitcher has to face.
I think you can't do
There's
that.
There's an idea.
You can't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because that takes away the strategy, at least in the National League where real baseball is played, that takes away the strategy of bringing a righty in to face a righty and bringing a lefty in to face a lefty, and it takes the managing out of the game.
But it adds a whole other level of strategy.
Sure it does. Do I want to bring this pitcher in to face 2 righties and a lefty, or do I want to leave this guy in to face 2 righties and a lefty, or do I leave him to face the righty and the lefty, or when do I use this pitcher?
I think you both speak baseball blasphemy.
Yeah, I don't like like Ray said, I don't like the way it changes the entire strategy of the game. I don't like the idea of instituting a rule, I guess, to protect managers from themselves. You know, overmanaging might be an issue in the National League in particular, but I don't think you saw
it. But I agree, Kit, that the baseball has been trying to find a way to shorten these games up while still maximizing commercial revenue, and that is the trick.
And I'll tell you what, there's other things that are really, really stunning. Go on YouTube and go Google the 1968 World Series, which I did recently, and go watch Bob Gibson,
Tigers,
Cardinals, and
go
time how long it took for Bob Gibson and Mickey Lolich to throw a pitch from the time they got the signs. It was about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
They got the ball, they threw the ball. They got the ball, they threw the ball.
Yeah.
Those are the margins that you can cut.
Well, and also
without
players,
changing rules.
Batters stepping out, they've tried to work on that.
Right.
Batters have to call time and be granted time as opposed to just stepping out as they did for years. It still isn't enforced very well.
No, but I think the numbers do show that last year's games were considerably faster than the previous
years. Of course,
years.
If the pitching gets better, it'll get faster. You put Syndergaard on the mound 5 days, a Syndergaard on the mound 5 days a week, it'll be a pretty fast game.
Well, I'll take 2 hours and 45 minutes, which, by the way, in the 1960s and 70s would have been an extremely long game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at a box score. I went to a doubleheader in August of 71, and the Mets were playing the Dodgers. They swept the Dodgers. Seaver pitched in one of the games, and I think it was, 220, something like that for the game. It was an average game.
Yep.
So anyway, hey, Kit, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure thing, yeah.
Have a good one. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Khan. Con in Sheffield, Mass. You're on.
Oh, thank you. I'm responding to a couple callers that you had a little while ago. One on Aussie rules football.
Yeah.
Best football game in the world.
Yeah, okay.
The thing that I most like about it is that you can't play the clock. You have to keep the ball moving at all times. And if it seems that the team that's ahead is playing the clock, the referee can add time on at the end.
Okay.
It's nonstop action.
All right.
As opposed to American football, where you spend most of the time watching them moon you while they're talking about what they're going to do.
Well played. Well played.
But do they still...
The other one is the other caller. I was in a couple classes in high school with John Thompson.
Okay.
And he seems like a very nice guy, but I never heard him say two words at that time. He seemed really, really shy.
Well, I guess if you're paid to say something on the radio, you better say, and maybe just be nice.
Yeah, and evidently that's what he does. So, anyway, thanks for taking the call.
Hey, man, good call. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right, Con, let's go over to Achilles in North Adams. Is this really Achilles?
It is.
Your listeners have the best names.
I'll tell you what, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about concussions in a second, but having the relationship to Greece, I want to throw out something. I wonder if you guys have ever thought about it. Want to save Greece's economy, and that is to bring back the old Olympic Games the way they used to have it a couple of thousand years ago. Okay. Chariot races and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe. All right.
And the kicker is that they did it in the nude.
Right. Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. So now we're on to concussions.
How much traction you want. But concussions, New Hampshire, University of New Hampshire college football. I don't know if you guys know, but they had a practice with no helmets.
Yes.
Did you know about that?
Yes.
And that it turned out that the teams that when they played with the games later had fewer injuries than the teams that practiced with helmets.
Interesting. And why do you think that is?
Because when you practice with no helmet, you really want to protect your head, and you probably want to protect the other guy's head so that he'll protect your head.
Interesting. But did they win? Did it ruin their aggressiveness on the field?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There are teams that are experimenting with different practices.
But your trending here with aggressiveness is kind of interesting.
Well, we're almost out of time, Achilles.
Almost like a military tinge, sir.
Ah, I see. Well, listen, this was a most interesting call, and I appreciate it very much. And, well, let's try one more. What the heck? Matt in Berkshire County. Matt, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just calling up. I heard about the Aussie rules football.
Okay.
And how it's on an oval field and everything.
Yeah.
I was born in New Zealand and been in Berkshire County now for about 4 years. The reason it's on an oval field is because back in the day, they used to always have to play it on the cricket grounds because they didn't have their own ground. So it was on an oval field for that reason.
Brilliant.
But I just heard the caller about the concussions, and obviously I'm a diehard rugby supporter, and there's not very many helmets in rugby, and I think if in the NFL, if they taught players a bit younger how to actually tackle and not lead with their heads, then there would be less concussions.
And so, I think they're trying to do that from a young age now.
It's funny. I watch the NFL a lot now, and I just watch the way they put their heads and the placement, and it's horrifying to me.
You make a point, man. You make a point. You guys want to weigh in? We only got about 20 seconds left, so I'll let you go, Matt, but thank you for that call.
It's interesting. We should look at the statistics for concussions in rugby. I never thought of that and what the level of concussion rate is in that sport, because they obviously can't lead with their heads.
Well, this was fun. Pete Iorizzo, I don't know, will you ever come back? It started aggressive against you, and it got weird, didn't it?
My feelings are still very hurt from Bob from Del Mar.
Mark McGuire, I assume you'll be back until I pay you the $5 I owe you.
I'm going to just keep coming back until I get my money.
All right, man. Support comes from Haydenville Woodworking and Design, a group of artisans designing and building renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture for over 30 years. HaydenvilleWD.com for virtual portfolio. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Curtis Lumber, featuring Anderson Windows, Therma-True Doors, Owens Corning Shingles, Valspar Paints, Cabot Stains, and more at 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont, curtislumber.com. And Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Thanks again to Pete Iorizzo of the Times Union and Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette for joining us today. Thanks to all of you, even Achilles, for calling in. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, our producer, Jessica Blaustein, Marshall, Ian Pickus, who made a cameo. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's astronomy. Bob Berman is back. News is next.